The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I can't believe I didn't talk about this yesterday. You know, I had the best weekend because my husband over here to the left of me, Otto, took me on a date night and we went with a couple and we hung out with another couple and all of us had something in common. Let me explain. Good morning, it's the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So Anthony, you have to understand, it was so romantic to me. We got ready. Oh. We went out, like we're going to, we had to go see Martin Amini.
Oh yeah.
Comedy, sold out every show here, yes. We released our conversation with him yesterday at 9 a.m. so you could watch it now on the Dana Cortez Show YouTube channel. Anyway, we're there, we're with my best friend Natalie and her boyfriend, and then we go backstage with Martin and his beautiful wife, and everybody's vibing, and then it's like, let's go home.
Everyone was on the same page. They're like,
exhausted.
It's time to go to bed.
Exhausted. Yeah. It was like Cinderella. I dropped my shoe, we flew out the door and went home. And I could not wait to just lay on the couch with my husband Otto here and just eat some ice cream and nothing.
Oh, there it is.
It was just, that's the latest I've been.
Life after 35 isn't the after party. The after party's the couch.
Yeah, the after party is the, Otto, that was such a great description. The after party used to be the after party.
Is your guys' friend Natalie, does she enjoy the alcohol or adult beverages?
She had one drink, you know. Okay. We were all really wanting.
Everyone was drinking except for me, basically.
I was going to say, because
Otto was a DD.
Between you and Martin and Charlene and you two, it's like water drinkers unite.
It was. Hey, I had a champagne. Now, I only drank a quarter of the little thing, but.
Of course, you know, she paid $25 for a drink.
I'm sorry.
Man,
I took two sips.
Champagne might be one of the most overrated things of all time.
What do you mean overrated?
But just like, even when it's good, it still gives me the bubbly.
It still tastes the same?
It still tastes the same. It just tastes like.
You think good champagne, I mean, tastes the same as the cheap champagne?
Yes, I do.
And what are you talking about?
I'm just not much of a champagne guy myself. I just think it's never. It's
Champagne?
Always, yeah, it just always sits weird. Always reminds me of like, Pepsi AC.
Oh, do you get bubble guts with
yes,
champagne?
Yes, dude, I can't drink champagne at all.
I just got it because I didn't want to be the only one. Because Otto was driving. He was the DD. I was like, well, I'll order it. And you're right. I shouldn't have because I didn't even drink
it. When she ordered it, I was like, I'm just going to pay for her to like have a drink in front of her.
That so it just looks pretty.
You went from champagne to ice cream?
I did.
No wonder you wanted to go home. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot on the stomach, dude.
Tommy was doing somersaults. Well,
and you know, the dinner we had, let's be real. Uh-oh. I had mozzarella sticks.
Oh.
Fried tendies and a sip of champagne. Not the sexiest dinner ever.
That's the great thing about the comedy club is the only place you can go where you can get champagne and chicken tenders together.
All together with some fries and ranch dressing on the side.
Yeah, you mix all those together. There's no adult time going on.
No.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. You have to decide. Am I going to have a big meal?
It's already past midnight, too. Oh. Come on.
Yeah. Am I going to have a big meal or a lot of love? And it was the meal. We chose the meal.
Yeah, that's a lot of love in its own way.
It really was.
Once you get to a certain age, you
have to make these choices.
Are we gonna eat big or are we gonna go big and we decide to eat big?
All right, what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
It is National Chewing Gum Day.
Let's go.
Yeah.
What's the advice you always give about chewing gum?
Hold on.
I asked Anthony first.
If anybody offers you gum, take it.
Why?
Because it's probably there for a reason.
Okay. Your breath. They're offering. Now, Otto, what was yours?
Don't swallow it because it takes 7 years to digest.
That is not even true. I knew you were going to say that. That's an old wives' tale.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Okay, so earlier I asked for somebody to call if you've been in a sorority or message me because our daughter, obviously Otto and I share a daughter. We call her Ava-matic. She's going to university. None of my family ever went. And the only thing I see is just partying on my TikTok and my Instagram, sorority girls partying. There's this thing that people say, why are you going to buy friends? And Ashton is on the line right now. So Ashton, you were in a sorority. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
It's different for each sorority and how long they've been around. Honestly, I really loved it, having a lot of female friends. I'm an engineer, so eventually you get to higher level classes. You don't have a lot of women in your classes.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I was like one of the older girls, though, and so I was kind of like the big sister.
Yeah.
I would give them advice about different things, or I would come pick them up from the bars. But honestly, lifelong friends. It's not buying your friends because, frankly, the girl who sat next to me, I hated her. you're not going to like everybody. You're going to find people inside of that group that you're going to have extra connections with. Organized philanthropy events.
That's okay. So that's what my daughter said. She said, Mom, I have like a schedule of volunteering that I have to adhere to. I have to keep my grades at a certain level.
As you can see, she's in Kappa Alpha Theta.
It's the oldest sorority in the country.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a good one or not.
But she wanted to be in this one and she made it.
She said that they're going to be working with CASA. So they're going to be working with kids. Yeah.
So yeah. You feel like your experience, you gained a lot.
You are close to your sisters. I mean, there are some that you absolutely can't stand, just like high school.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just like work.
Yeah, just like work. I will say one of the greatest benefits I got out of it was when I, after college, and I was moving across the country to new places where I didn't know anybody, I was able to go to my sorority alumni chapter, and they were able to, like, help me get settled in. They were, like, a quick friend group, job resources. You find people all across the country that's in your sorority, and it's, like, a quick way to be like, oh, you were in my sorority. Let me connect.
Sounds like it's great for networking.
Now,
let me ask you a whole different question. You said you're an engineer. We don't get a lot of calls from women engineers. It's a male dominated field. Yeah, what type of engineer are you and where do you work?
I'm a mechanical engineer. I work as a systems engineer at NASA.
Oh my gosh.
That is so cool.
I'm talking to a real live NASA employee right now. I'm fanning out, girl.
Was this like a lifelong dream or did you just come across the job? How did it come about?
I mean, working at NASA has always been like my lifelong dream. Oh. I worked, you know, I took a lot of jobs I didn't love in order to like get the experience and stuff to like get here. And it's the best.
What you just said is so important. I did a lot I didn't want to do to get to where I am. That is the most important thing I've heard all morning because I think, especially right now with the falseness of social media, it seems like everybody just makes it to the top in a second. That is not the way the real world works.
I always say, everything you want is on the other side of hard.
Tell me about some of the sucky jobs you did before you got here.
I worked at a pretzel maker in the mall. I was a door-to-door salesperson. I was really bad at it.
Oh, wait a minute. What were you selling door-to-door, girl? You come knocking on my door. What were you selling?
Oh, my God. It was that Southwestern company that sells books.
Oh, my gosh.
It's from a company called Southwestern.
Okay.
If you hear that at college, it's not Southwest Airlines. It's Southwestern. It's like, books. Stay away from it.
So pretzel maker, book slinger, and what was another one?
I was a copy editor on the night shift for a newspaper.
Oh, God.
I was event security for football games, basketball games.
You did it all.
I did, yeah. And I mean, I'm a farm girl, so I'm good with doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
But I had some systems engineering jobs that I was like, oh, my gosh, if I do this every day for the rest of my life, I'm just going to, like, hate myself. But I became a better engineer, a better person through all those jobs. And I love the people that I worked with. The people I worked with were always really good. It was just like the task that sucked. And then I think it made me a better engineer.
It does. It prepares you for what you really want and you've got to work toward it. I don't think you understand. I'm fanning out right now because when I was little, I was always fascinated with anything that had to do with space. And I still fight for Pluto. I know she's a dwarf planet, but she's still my girl. She's still my girl. So
I always heart Pluto.
I'm so glad that you called and you shared this experience about not only being in the sorority, but also just being a NASA employee and how hard it is to get what you really want. I've done it all too, girl. I worked overnights in a convenience store. I've waited tables. I've shined shoes. Yes, I was a shoe shiner. You have to do the hard things to get to what you want.
Dana's a country girl too.
I'm country girl too. Yes, girl. I'll do whatever it takes, you know, I'd rather say I do any job than that I'm unemployed, that I'm too good to work for it, you know?
Right? Yeah. And to bring it all back, there are actually several other women from not from my instance of my sorority, but who also are a part of my sorority that work with me at NASA.
Wow. And our new space crew, 6 out of 10 are women, which was amazing. We just talked about that. So, yes. Well, thank you so much for calling. And I hope to hear from you more often. In fact, will you hold on the line if we need any real expertise? I would like to call on you. I'm going to make you a DCS VIP caller. Okay, hold on. Don't hang up. Hold on.
All right.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Linguistic convergence. Let me explain. The reason we're talking about this is we got a call a couple of weeks ago. Now, I was talking about my first jobs and what I'd done, and I worked graveyards at a convenience store for a long time. The convenience store is called Allsup's, and inside this store, they sell a famous burrito. It's called a chimichanga. And you have to know, you have to taste it to understand how great it is, right?
Fully describe Allsup's. Like Allsup's, if it had a significant other, would be Circle K.
Great description. Now, linguistic convergence. We started talking about it because of this phone call from one of our listeners, Sherman, who happens to be from West Texas.
Well, I actually live in Abilene, but you were just talking about the burritos, right?
You know about Allsup's, don't you?
Oh, girl, you better stop it.
That little hot sauce you put on top of the chimneys?
I worked for the Union Pacific Railroad as a locomotive engineer, and my run was from Sweetwater, Texas to Pecos, Texas.
Pecos, Texas. I lived there for a long time.
Oh, that's God's country. He's the only one that'll have it.
I started talking like Sherman. I realized it during
slowly
the call.
Slowly but surely, yeah.
I didn't understand what it was. But when we hung up, Otto said, my gosh, you just got that accent going really thick. And so we looked it up, and it is something that happens. It doesn't happen to everyone, but when you pick up other people's mannerisms, maybe the way they're talking, it's called linguistic convergence. Oh, it is the unconscious desire to foster a social and emotional connection.
Man.
I feel like I did it because I moved around all the time when I was little, and I felt the need to want to be accepted. Yeah. And fit in. I needed to fit in.
I'm happy that you came up with a like clinical diagnostics of it.
Diagnosis.
Every time I thought I was going to do it, I'm like, wait, am I racist? That's what I thought. Every time I wanted to do it, I thought so. But now I know it's a medical condition. So anytime I find myself mocking, I don't feel like I'm mocking a cowboy, but I find myself sometimes being like, no, I'm talking about.
So I moved from Minnesota to New Mexico, and I remember when
those two accents are like night and day, Otto.
So when I first got to New Mexico, my friends would always tease me. They'd be like, what's that thingamajigger? I guess they said that I would use that word all the time. But then after I lived there for a while, when I would call my family back home, they'd be like, what is wrong with you? Why do you sound like that? You sound like you're singing. Because I had a Spanish accent all of a sudden. And it's just from growing
up. You're not even Latino.
I'm not even Latino. And that's the weird thing. As I've gotten older, people have always they always think I'm Mexican. And if you look at me, I don't look Mexican.
I don't look Mexican either.
No, you're right.
Nobody
but they always say
Mexican.
The way you move, the way you talk, the way you dress, that I'm sometimes talking Spanglish. I think you're just become a product of your environment.
Oh,
that too, but I think also you are wanting to be like the people around you.
You want to assimilate, yeah.
Yes, you do. And what you surround yourself with becomes normal.
Yeah.
Right. And I surrounded myself with I can't even tell you how many elementary schools I went to or junior highs. So I think now it's just something I do. You said that about the whole am I racist? I completely get it because in certain circles, I speak a certain way. In other circles, I speak another way. It's just so strange to me. But now we have a clinical diagnosis. And the king of this, Drake. He steals everybody's accent.
And that's for years.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Huge news announced day before yesterday. Super Bowl. The halftime performance will be none other than Bad Bunny.
Wow.
Benito, who has starred alongside Adam Sandler now. He starred alongside Brad Pitt at this point. I mean, the man has been doing quite a bit.
He's the most streamed artist in the world. I thought Taylor Swift was, but no, he's got her beat.
No, and the difference, and I'm a Swiftie. Anthony, you've been a Swiftie longer than I have, that's for sure.
Yes.
The difference is Bad Bunny just stepped on the scene in the latter part of 2017. So to be that new and to have made such an impact globally deserves the halftime. So there was a picture somebody posted of him with Taylor Swift, completely AI. But I thought to myself, you think she might come out with him?
Probably not. I don't see him. We've seen him in concert before and he didn't bring anybody out.
Well, he doesn't need anybody.
No.
And you don't have to understand Espanol to feel this because I'll be honest, I had to drag out of the show.
I was a little skeptical to go to the show because I don't speak Spanish. But when I got there and I saw his performance, I mean, he's an A1 performer.
You stood up.
Yeah,
the whole concert.
He had an orchestra there. He had dancers. I mean,
he came out on a horse.
He's a theater kid. He puts on an amazing show where I was, like I said, I was skeptical. And now I'm a Bad Bunny fan.
And, you know, from his residency in his own home, you know,
Puerto Rico,
which, yeah, like, shifted the economy. So I think he should be rewarded for this. But also, like, the football fan in me and the American football fan in me really wanted to see Metallica because it's at Levi's Stadium in the Bay Area.
It's going
to
happen.
The Metallica was based, you know, they launched in the Bay Area. And when
I ran into Lars Ulrich in San Francisco.
When it comes to rocking, like, NFL stadiums, they make stadium anthems. So I am happy for Bad Bunny. I think it's a great play for the NFL in regards to expanding their Latin audience.
Well, that's the big play.
Yeah.
They're trying to get into South America. They're trying to get a team in Mexico City. I mean, that's why part of the reason they're doing this.
I love Bad Bunny. I'm so excited. And I love Metallica. That's one of the first concerts I ever saw. Just to, you know, I definitely think that they should do it. But there's a moment that you have to capture. And
he's the biggest artist in the world right now.
He's the biggest artist in the world. Also, like Otto, like you said, you don't have to speak Spanish. You might think, who is this guy? I know who he is. I mean, obviously, I've been listening to him for a minute. But listen to the music, especially his last album, which is really dedicated to the roots of salsa music, to what came out of Puerto Rico, which is an American territory. It's a U.S. territory, by the way. So he's a U.S. citizen. This is not someone who's not from here. He's as American as apple pie.
I hope he does.
So I want to make sure and say that.
I hope he does incorporate more English into his Super Bowl set.
He says he doesn't have to. He says he doesn't. He was asked by Rolling Stone magazine. He's like, why? You feel this music. He doesn't have, I don't think, any English songs.
But it'd be a good time for him to do so because it could expand his audience.
I bet you he will have an English song before.
I don't think so.
As big as he is, the NFL like market and audience is still so niche where a lot of those people don't know who he is. So it could be an opportunity for him to expand his audience to everyday white America.
But I think that's his point. When you hear the music, you feel it. This last album especially, De Vi Tirar Más Fotos, which translates to I Should Have Taken More Pictures, it's so dedicated to the old school salsa sound. The dance, you just hear it, you're like, you want to dance.
Bring, I just hope he's better than like what Shakira and J-Lo did. Like, they turned it into like a Zumba class. And I was like, what is this, bro? Like, we can't be watching this again. Please, dog.
It will not be a Zumba class.
I went to a show. It's not anywhere
it's
near a Zumba show.
It's nothing like a Zumba class, I swear.
Nope.
Dang it.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm going to test you right now. Who recognizes this sound? Where does it come from?
Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
877-730-DZS1. Call or text. I'll tell you why we're talking about this incredible show after we get into hottest hashtags. Have to get very serious. So there was a gunman that opened fire at a Michigan church and then set it on fire, killing 5, wounding 8. I've said this before. I'm just so exhausted talking about it and saying I wish that the families could find peace. And I wish and I hope, I really want our lawmakers to come together and figure out how we can solve this problem. Where there is a problem, there is a solution. Now, I wish the family peace. I think that at this time, we got to come together. It is time for all of us to come together. Otto, I know it's a quick shift here, but what do you have for food news for us?
Bose has teamed up with CNC Merch, and they have a new speaker that goes on your countertop. Literally, some of the best sound you can buy. They have a new speaker that goes on your kitchen countertop that looks just like butter.
Butter? A butter Bose speaker?
It's a butter Bose speaker.
I want one for our kitchen.
They're super limited, and they're $400.
And it's not even real butter?
It's not real butter.
Nah, dog.
It looks really cool, and it would be something that I would love to have on our counter, but I don't think I'm going to spend $400 on that.
No, limited. It's probably already sold out anyway. Rich people are all over that. All right, what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
All right, it is International Podcast Day. So give you a reminder, Dana Cortez Show does have a podcast available on all streaming platforms.
Radio, podcast, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Anyway, all right, what else do we have?
It is Ask a Stupid Question Day, if you have anything.
I'm an expert at that. But I thought there was no such thing as a stupid question.
The one question that irks me or drives me up the wall is if I misplace my keys and somebody goes, well, do you remember where you put them? I'm like, no, dude, I don't.
If I remembered where I put them, they wouldn't be lost.
Oh, it drives me up the wall.
Oh, here's another one. You're on the Zoom meeting. Does anybody have any questions? Who is the fool that raises their hand? No, stop it.
And let's wrap it up on National Chewing Gum Day.
Hey, if somebody offers you gum, take it. And Otto this morning was saying, it lives in your stomach for 7 years. It doesn't dissolve. That's an old wives' tale. That's not true.
It's new to me, okay?
The other wives' tale, do you ever hear that it was made from spider eggs? That was the one growing up that we heard a lot.
Honestly. I never heard that one before in my life.
Yeah, growing up, that's all the kids would say. It's made from spider eggs.
Turns out, I would never chew gum if somebody had told me that.
I didn't stop chewing it.
All right, it is Hispanic Heritage Month, and Benjamin and his daughter Kara guessed this was Dora the Explorer. You're right.
Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
All the text messages we got in for that one. Dora was almost Tess the Cat. The creators back in 2000 were already halfway through this when Nickelodeon said, hey, the Hispanic population is growing. Can you make this a Hispanic character? And they came up with Dora the Explorer, which, by the way, I love. All three of my kids love Dora. It was a movie, and she's smart and worldly. I think she's a great character.
I can't believe she was almost a cat.
Like, I mean, I guess it'd be like a counterpart to like Bluey or something like that.
It really is. Okay. Dora's that popular. Like, she's a worldwide figure. And I love the representation because, like I said, she's extremely intelligent. Come on, that little bowl haircut. We all have that haircut at some point in our lives.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.